We got a quick news brief right from the field, amen? Most importantly, I want to praise God for what he's doing. If you heard there in the video, they're participating and overseeing the translation with national translators that they have trained in four different language groups at one time. And it's not only Bible translation, but it's disciple making, it is church planning. And when they complete those four projects, their heart and desire is that those people groups and those translation teams will begin four more projects and continue to multiply to the many language groups that are on the many islands that are in the South Pacific there. And so we want to say thank you to Bethel Church for your support and participating in the work. You are literally extending the gospel and helping to mature God's church in the South Pacific. And so we praise God for that. I was thinking about that. You know, I recently returned with my wife from visiting our son in Africa over the Christmas and New Year holiday. And as we were traveling back a 15-hour journey from Cape Town to Newark, New York, I was had plenty of time on my hands. And after I was done with the videos that I watched in the movies and I was bored of things, I began flipping through all of the pictures on my phone that I had taken through our trip. Hundreds of pictures of just beautiful things like panoramic views of the mountains and the ocean and the wildlife that was there. And portraits of pictures of people and things that I saw there. And then, obviously, a few selfies that I took with my wife and myself and our son and friends that we had known for many years when we served in Southern Africa. And then I began to think, you know, that's not unlike the pictures that God wants us to see. And so today, I want us to look at three different pictures that are coming from God's Word. First, a panoramic view of God's Word from the Old Testament to the New Testament, then a portrait of what is taking place in our world and the need that is still there. And then lastly, I want us to turn the camera around and take a selfie of ourselves as world Christians. So let's hustle through the panoramic view of God's Word, okay? And I want to ask a question. What is the biblical basis for this thing we call missions that you're celebrating and educating awareness about this month? And oftentimes we focus missions kind of on that one passage of scripture in the middle of Matthew. We talk about Jesus's commission that we all are familiar with, go and make disciples of all nations. As important as it is, it seems like missions teeters there, like, is it just part of what we're doing and part of God's plan for what he's been all about in the world? But I dare say that missions is from everything that God's been about from Genesis until Revelation when he comes again. Amen? That's what missions is all about. We'll see that just now. But I have to ask another question. Who was the first missionary? Now, you might quickly think, oh, I know the answer. Paul, because there were three missionary journeys that Paul took in the book of Acts. Or you might say, well, even before Paul, there was the apostle Peter, and he went to Cornelius's house, which was a different cultural people amongst the Gentiles. Or there was Philip that met the eunuch on the road to Africa. Or we could think about, well, Jesus. Jesus was a missionary. He came down from heaven to this earth. And you would be partially right with that. But I really believe that the first missionary was God. Was God, because he reached out to us. In the beginning, it says in Genesis chapter 1, as we move from Genesis to Revelation quickly, it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill all the earth and subdue it. See, Adam and Eve and mankind were made stewards of everything that God had created. And he said, I want you to scatter throughout the world and be stewards of everything I have given you. And I want you to give me glory and worship my name as you scatter amongst the nations. But we know when you get quickly to Genesis chapter 3, we know that sin entered into the world as they disobeyed God and they focused more on their own desires. And they disobeyed him and were deceived by the serpent. And so they went and hid. And then it says that man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Was it could God not find them? Were they playing hide and seek and were they too good for God to find them? No. This is the example of God as a missionary God who called out to them and said, "Where are you?" And just like we sang earlier, God is calling mankind, every tribe, nation, people, group to himself. He desires all people to be redeemed and rescued in relationship with him. And we know that unfortunately after Adam and Eve and the brokenness of the world, sin continued to prevail. And to the point that God, it grieved God's heart and he chose to destroy everything in it except for a remnant of Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. And then we see God giving the same commission to them, he says, to Noah and his son, saying to them, "Be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth." God's desire was to make a place that would give glory to his name and through his people that would spread across all of the earth and the many cultures of the world that would develop that would all praise God as a result of his mission. Be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth. But again, sin continued to increase in the world and on this earth, and there was a group of people that stopped in a place, and they said to them, "Let's make our name great." They say, "And so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the old earth." So they disobeyed God from being scattered around. They said, "Let's make a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make our name great." And again, they were taking the focus off of God and they were trying to put the focus on themselves, and sin was increasing. And then we see in that verse that the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the men were building. And the Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Let us go down," speaking of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, "let us go down, confuse their language so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all of the earth. Now that just made the situation a lot more difficult. Because now, as sin is spread throughout all the world, now the languages of the world begin from that standpoint, right from the Tower of Babel. They went from one language to groups of many languages that are spread throughout all of the world. We'll see later, more than 7,000 languages now in the world that are still in use to this day. And the complication of spreading the gospel, and God confused their languages so they would not continue in sin, so that they would not continue to focus on themselves. But he scattered them through that place. But through the languages of the world, he's going to also redeem and rescue them and bring them back. And we also see the origin of the nations. What is in this word, ethne, different people groups, different cultures and languages that are proclaimed there that begin to develop throughout all of the world. But we see God's plan to redeem the world. And I think this is the first great commission. It's not in Matthew 28. It's actually in Genesis chapter 12 when God says to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great and you will be a blessing." And you see, God blesses Abraham so he might be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. That's all the people groups of the world. He begins with one man and one woman, which is an amazing story because Abraham at this time was about 90 years old and he was childless. His wife had never had a child, but through his family and through his seed, all the nations of the world would be blessed, and ultimately that comes through Jesus Christ that we know. And he continued to repeat that promise to his son Isaac in Genesis 26. He says, "I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and through your offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed through you." And you look to the skies above, and you look to the universe, and you see all the stars, and you can't count them all. And we're still finding new stars and new planets and new galaxies. And God says, that is how great will be the peoples of the world, that I want them all to know me and to glorify me and praise me. And then to Jacob, Isaac's son, the same promise comes again as he sees a stairway reaching up to heaven with the angels ascending and descending. And he's sleeping that night on a hard rock. I can't imagine sleeping on a rock that night. And the promise is stated to him again. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and they will be spread from the west to the east, from the north to the south, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And you sit there wondering, from this small group, this small family, what will become a small nation, God will bless all the nations of the world. And then we see that people group is ultimately, by God's providence, Jacob's family is brought back to Egypt, and they grow to many scholars think maybe as many as 2 million people in Egypt, but then they become oppressed for 400 years. And God brings Moses to them to redeem them. And even through the plagues, God's desire was not just to redeem the nation of Israel. It says in Scripture that through the plagues, he wanted all the nations of the world to recognize that he was the true and living God. And Moses brings them out of Egypt and brings them towards the promised land. And along that way, he says to them, you will be a kingdom of priests. Israel, you will be a kingdom of priests. What were the purpose of the priests? The priest was to draw the people into relationship, bring them before the throne of God. He says, Israel, it's not for you alone. I want you to be a nation to draw all the nations of the world to myself. And that's why later in Israel's history, as you go through the judges and then later through the kings, you get to King David and then his son Solomon, and he builds the temple. And in the midst of dedicating the temple, he says this prayer: as for the foreigner who does not belong to the people Israel, but has come from the distant land, because of your name, for men will hear of your great name. And he says, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you. What is he saying there? He says the purpose of the temple was to be a place to honor God and to draw not just Israel, but all the nations of the world to himself. So you got the inner court, and then you got the place where the priests could go, and then you have the place of the men of Israel and the court of women, and then the court of the Gentiles. God was reaching out in a ripple effect. He wanted all peoples of the world to come and draw near to him. And is it any wonder that when Jesus was in this earth and in his ministry, that two different times he went into that very temple that Solomon had built, and it grieved his heart. And he began turning the tables over in the temple, because he said, you have made this place a den of robbers, instead of a house of prayer. What was he saying? You are hindering the Gentile people from coming to worship here. They were selling things and profiting from them and making it hard for the Gentiles to come and worship and to pray to God and to get to know him. And it grieved Jesus' heart, because God's desire has always been for the nations. So you read in the Psalms, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his name shine on us. And you've heard that statement before, but have you stopped to read the rest of the Psalm? It says that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation amongst all the nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. So we too have been blessed to be a blessing to the nations of the world. Later it says, declare his glory amongst the nations, his glorious deeds amongst all people in Psalm 96. In Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all you nations. Over and over and over again in the Psalms does it remind us that God's desire is for all the peoples of the world to know him. And then in this prophecy in Isaiah, a prophecy that was not only written for Isaiah, but a prophecy that Paul refers to in the New Testament, and a prophecy that was fulfilled through Jesus, it says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to just restore the tribes of Jacob and bring them back. Those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light to the Gentiles that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. So what was he saying to the prophets? Like Isaiah, you're not just a prophet for Israel. You're a prophet to the nations of the world to draw them in. What was he saying about Jesus? He was not just a prophet to the Jewish people. He began with the Jews, but he went and commissioned and said, we're going to all the nations of the world. And that's why Paul's passion and heart was always to all the nations. That's why Jonah didn't get it. When I grew up and I was in Sunday school, I thought Jonah was all about God's miraculous salvation of Jonah by saving him through this big fish. And yeah, it was God's grace. The book of Jonah is all about God's grace and redemption, giving him a second chance. But it was not just for Jonah. It was for the nation of Israel, the enemies of Israel. That's why God says, pray for your enemies, bless your enemies. He desires for their salvation and to come and draw near to them. Malachi says, my name will be great amongst the nations. All throughout the Old Testament, and then we get into the New Testament, and we see that common verse that says, all authority in Jesus, as he commissions to go to all nations so that all peoples might know him and be obedient to his word and his commands. And that's why Bible translation is so important. You know, you can share the gospel in word and in a lot of different ways, in social media, things like that. But how are you going to ever mature the church without the word of God? Amen? You're a people of the word. You understand that. Matthew 24, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a testimony to all nations, and the end will come. We truly believe this. We truly believe God is being patient to come again in his second coming and judgment until all the nations of the world, all the peoples of the world have an opportunity to hear the name of Jesus and fall down and be obedient to him if they desire. And so the proclamation is said again in Acts chapter 1 to all the nations that you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And we see that played out in the book of Acts as Peter proclaims on the day of Pentecost the message, and people are scattered through persecution, and the people are challenged to go to the people that they're uncomfortable with across the different cultures. And those that are sent out in Acts chapter 13 is a group of missionaries with Paul leading the way, going and proclaiming the gospel, starting the church and ordaining leaderships from place to place and going back and encouraging the church. But it was always Paul's heart and desire to go to the ends of the earth, wherever the gospel had never gone. So when he writes the book of Romans, proclaiming the gospel message to the Roman church that he had never met before, probably they had heard the message on the day of Pentecost and some had moved there and started the church. He says, I'm coming. Here is the message. But when I come, I want you to send me to Spain. The book of Romans is a newsletter from a missionary who's wanting the help from the church to go to the ends of the earth and take the gospel to another part where he knew the people had never heard the gospel message. He says, my ambition is preach the gospel where Christ was not known. And that's what we're all about. Taking God's word, making disciples in places where God is not known, where Jesus is not known. I love this verse here. Kind of brings the culmination of the Old and the New Testament. I never knew, I had for many years missed this verse. But this is such a powerful verse. It says, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel. The gospel? The gospel wasn't just in the New Testament. The gospel in the Old Testament. The gospel in advance to Abraham that all nations will be blessed through you. So you proclaim the full gospel, the whole gospel. The whole gospel has always been from Genesis to Revelation that God desires all nations of the world to be blessed through him. Amen? And then we see the fulfillment of that in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And John, as he's seen this revelation, the vision that was given to him, and he sees this scroll, and he's literally in tears, folks. He's crying, Because he sees the punishment that is happening. He sees the fallenness of the world. He sees a world like now without hope. When you watch CNN or whatever news channel you watch and you see the hopeless world we're living in, you go back to this verse and you see what John saw, because there was no hope and he was in tears. And then he sees the Lamb of God who is able to open the scroll and see God's redemption plan. He says, and with your blood you purchased men from God, from every tribe and language and people group. And then he began to rejoice and worship Jesus, because our hope is in Jesus in this fallen world. And this is the fulfillment that you and I will be a part of one day. And the people in Vanuatu that you're giving the gospel message and the word of God to. That all nations will stand before the throne. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. And that will be a beautiful day. And God's going to get the glory for it all. Amen? David Platt made this statement: God desires and decrees for people from all nations to hear and receive his good news of his great love in Jesus. And that's what mission is all about. That's what God's always been about, from Genesis to Revelation till he comes again. God has always been about the full gospel, is not just for my own salvation, but for the salvation of everyone who needs to know Jesus. So that's the panoramic view of the Bible. But quickly, I want to take a portrait of what's happening in our world, and a quick snapshot of what does the world look like right now. A real quick picture. There are many different people groups in the world. You look at those faces in different cultures and places. And if you go to joshuaproject.net, a great resource that you can use, and you can get updates from it and prayer requests every day, there are over 17,000 different ethnic people groups in the world this day, and a population of 7.8, almost 7.9 billion people. We'll cross 8 billion people here real soon. But the number of people who have no access to the gospel that we call unreached, less than 2% Christianity, meaning that there is not a viable growing church. There might not be also a Bible in their language. Less than 2% Christians in that area. There is still 3 billion people that do not know the name of Jesus and have no access to the gospel and no growing church. That's not good enough. We got to change that. Amen? And so where are they located? Majority of them are there in that area of red. Those are the unreached people groups. Those are the unreached people, less than 2% Christianity. Those are where most of our projects are as an organization, reaching around the world. There's other places where the church has been started in yellow, but it's still growing, it's still young. There's places where the church is established and stronger, and where they are also sending out missionaries to the other ends of the world. And you also notice the spiritual battle taking place. Go back there just a minute. If you go back to the unreached people group, and then you go to where the persecuted church is, there's a big overlap of where the gospel has not been, because Satan does not want to give up his territory. There's a spiritual battle taking place. Amen? You hear me? You hear me? Where the places of the world where people are oppressed, where there is a lot of false religions, oppressive governments, hardship, poverty, injustice in the world, where Satan is ruling, is the place where the gospel needs to be presented. Amen. And we have to go forth in spiritual battle and claim those places in Christ, because we're not working for victory. We're working from victory from the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me jump back to her. So where do we need the Bible in particular? There are languages, there are 7,378 languages is it identified currently in use in the world to this day. The languages with scripture, there's currently 3,495. On Friday, We had an event at the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C. there. We were able to take some pastors of churches across the United States walking through the Bible Museum that was established by the Green family here in Oklahoma City. Beautiful place if you ever get to go there. 6 stories high, all to the glory of God, seeing the history of the Word of God. And there's one section there that represents all the Bibles that have been completed, the New Testaments that have been completed, the portions of Scriptures that have been completed, the Bibles that are just have begun to be written and translated, and the ones that still remain. And the task and the desire is that by 2050, every people group in this world will at least have the New Testament word and the gospel in their language, working together with 11 different organizations to do Bible translation to get the word of God in every people of the world. So there are 700 complete Bibles in the world. There's 1,584 complete New Testaments, and that's growing every month. There's 1,196 scripture portions, languages that have been started, and there's portions of scripture. There are 2,200 active languages that we're working on together with 11 different translation organizations. But yet there are still 2,000 language groups that we haven't even started with yet to this day that need the Bible in their language. And so our goal is that we took 10% of that 2,000, and we said by 2050, we will complete 200 more projects by 2050. So currently we're in 28 countries. We are doing 108 languages that impact 102 million people in this world. Your church is a part of 4 of those projects in Vanuatu in the South Pacific. And our goal is to complete 300 projects in the history of our organization from the 1970s until 2050. And most of those are written languages, and some of them are sign languages for deaf communities. Did you know there are 400 different sign languages in the world that need the Word of God translated in sign language in video production on their very phones so that they can hear the name of Jesus by 2050? But it really comes back to this right here. Because you can hear all the stats. I can give you all the stats. I can overwhelm you with stats, but it all goes back that when nations become names, people are energized to do something. When you look at the faces and glimpses of the kingdom of God right here, these are fellow believers in Christ who have drawn near to God. That's what it's all about. So let me wrap up with a quick little selfie. I want you to, if you got a cell phone, I want you to pick it up right now. Pick it up. You got your phone. And turn it towards yourself. Come on, you've done it before. You've done it before, okay? All right, we're going to do a little quick selfie, okay? All right, this is not to be critical. This is to be a challenge, okay? The challenge to you, challenge to I, okay? All right, what does it mean to be a world Christian? You know, we saw the panoramic view. This is God's desire. The full gospel is that all the peoples of the world would get to know the name of Jesus and follow his commands in God's word. We see a glimpse and a portrait of this is what's the current condition in our world, and the still the need for people to have the gospel in their language. But now I want to get personal and say, okay, turn the camera at yourself and say, what part do I have to play in that? Take a selfie. What does it mean to be a world Christian, who is fulfilling God's plan for all the nations? World Christian discipleship is likened to a journey which is pursued with intent and purpose. You can't just go casually through life without intent and purpose. But a world Christian's purpose and intent is the purpose and intent that God has to get the gospel to all the nations of the world. It's going to take purpose and intent. That's why there are 11 organizations working together to complete the purpose and the intent by 2050 that every people group would get the word of God. And so you got to live out that plan with purpose and intent. What is your purpose? What is your intent with your life? World Christians refuse to settle for casual, comfortable, and cultural Christianity. It's not about making America great. It's not about the American dream. It's about giving glory to God. Amen? Amen. And I'm not talking politics here. I'm talking about kingdom work, okay? God's desire is that all nations of the world might glorify him at the throne one day. And that means that we're going to have to get on our knees and pray. It means we're going to have to learn other cultures and learn other languages. It means we're going to have to sacrifice in our giving. And we might have to sacrifice in sending some of our best to the nations of the world. They are day-to-day disciples for whom Christ's global cause has become their integrating, overriding priority. So what's the priority of your life? There are many things that the world is calling you to do, but Jesus is calling you to make his name great amongst all the nations, amongst all the communities, amongst all the neighborhoods, including here in Choctaw. Amen? World Christians are also good stewards, and you're always asking the question, why, where, and how are we investing our prayers, our people, our money, our time, our talents? Because it's important. We're going to be purposeful. We're going to be intentional to do all we can in the life that God has given us to fulfill his work. And so I want to leave you with these five things before we close in prayer. These are things I think your church is already doing, and I want to encourage you to continue to do them. Number one, keep praying. Because the strategy for reaching the nations is through the power of God. And we're joining him in what he's already doing in Vanuatu and in Asia and Africa and all the nations of the world. Pray for God's power. Pray for God's power to overcome and open doors that God's name might be known and proclaimed amongst the nations. You can go to joshuaproject.net and you can get prayer requests every day for unreached people groups. You can go to pioneerbible.org and you can get prayer requests regularly how to pray for the unreached people groups. You go to the newsletters of your missionaries and see the prayer requests that you can be praying. It's one of the most powerful things you can be doing as a church is praying for God to move and to act in this world. Number two, be welcoming. Just like the nation of Israel, when the foreigners is amongst us, we need to receive them and welcome them and not be afraid of them, but use it as an opportunity. When God brings the nations to our neighborhoods, we need to reach out to the internationals and the refugees amongst us. Did you know we got two Bible translation projects happening amongst refugee communities in the United States for other nations of the world where we cannot put missionaries? God is bringing the nations to our neighborhoods as an opportunity because they are often open here as international students to hear the word of God when they're not open back home. So welcome the nations amongst you. Be looking for the nations. I'm sure in this community there are hundreds of different nations represented here in Oklahoma City area. Number three, going. Some of you are called to go. That might be on short-term missions trips, or that might be permanently as career missionaries to go out and to send those children in your kids' ministry and in your student ministry to raise them up and say, we're calling you to go to the nations and to go. Number four, and to send them. And that means not only financially, that means not only in prayer, but to care for them and love them as they go out. And just as the early disciples came back to Antioch and reported to them what had been happening, they loved on those first missionaries before they sent them back again to do their work. And lastly, to mobilize the workers for the harvest. And that's a part that the leadership of this church has to play in, is preparing people to be sent out, to be a part of God's kingdom work. Bethel Church at Choctaw, thank you for partnering well with us. But I want to challenge you today as you think about God's panoramic view of the Bible. God has always been about reaching all the nations from Genesis to Revelation. And when you look at the portrait of our current world and you turn on the news, you can't miss it, can you? You see what's happening in Ukraine. You can see the physical war taking place. It breaks our heart. But I want you to see the spiritual war that is taking place there. We have partners there in Ukraine, Poland, in that region of the world that are translating the word of God. We've provided training for them. They're translating the word of God. And Satan wants to stop that from happening. But God will overcome, even through the difficult times. Lastly, turn that phone around, take a picture of yourself and say, God, what part do you have to play for me? I want to give myself to you for your glory. Let's pray.